JKT, KO4HKX.
W2JKT, how's it going?
Crossing the state line right now.
We're just passing exit 48, I think, what is this, 276. I forget the name of the road, but yeah, exit 48.
I'm coming into Easley this morning, there in Easley, Powdersville area.
Right, from where I'm at, we're at exit 27 there. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but we have our company store over there. You ever hear of a Direct Tools Factory Outlet?
I've heard of it.
That's our kind of like TPI, like company factory outlet store. So that's where we get all of our employee discounts from. Oddly, I can't just go out to the distribution center and grab a tool if I want one. I have to go through our retail channel, but they give the employees, fabulous pricing on everything.
They do that so they can keep track of, make sure nobody's just taking stuff. PTP up here, one of our tool suppliers, they had the same thing going on there.
Before, where an employee can just go grab something, as long as it gets accounted for, it's fine. But like if I need tools for testing in my lab or something, I still have to go buy them from somewhere. So it's not like, they give me like a certain number of prototypes that they build for testing, but if I want to test, finished goods or something, or do an engineering examination or something like that, investigation, I still got to buy them.
I think they do that so they can write it off, one, as an expense, and two, they can keep track of what's going where.
Our bucket, R&D gets a big federal tax credit. So if I go and buy a bunch of tools for testing in an R&D program, then we get to deduct all that like twice or something like that. Get to take advantage of the big R&D tax credit.
That's kind of why I figure they do that. And by the way, I got that adapter and 12 volt regulator in, or converter. Yes, I just got it last night.
I'll keep you posted on how it works out. I'm using mine right now. I don't have, I'm actually donating this car to a local animal rescue when I get my bolt. So I didn't bother running the 12 volts to this radio. So I'm just using my 40 volt tool battery this morning. I'm driving right now is a 2012 Nissan Armada, and it's huge. It gets terrible fuel economy, and I've used it mainly to transport dogs anyway. So there's a local dog rescue in Shelby, and one of my bolts comes in, I'm just going to donate it to them.
I thought that's what I heard you say. It's a little scratchy where you're at.
The radio in this car, when I'm driving the truck, the radio performs much better. I don't know if it's just a different antenna or what, but I'm not sure what's going on with that, but it seems like this car is about maybe 6 dB off from the other one.
Could be the cold air up on the mountains affecting the repeaters too, because it's down in the 30s up there.
This morning I had it like 45 in Shelby this morning.
I was at the house when I walked out, and the temperature's still dropping, so we hadn't got to the coldest part of the day yet.
I've got 54 degrees, exit 42.
Colder than that here, just above TR. I'm coming in down 25 now.
Here for it, it seems like just a couple of weeks ago I was swimming in the pool, and now the water temperature in my pool is down to like 71 degrees yesterday.
Silly to get into.
Down to about 76, but once it got below 76, it got a little bit too much.
We always went up into the Pisgah National Forest there and the Davidson River, and that's got to be the coldest river there is. I think it runs like 55, 60 degrees year-round.
Some parks down in Georgia, they have some chilly water pools there where it's in the 50s as well. I used to go down and ride my bike in the mountains over there, and after, you know, a 50-mile bike ride or whatever on climbing, jumping in those pools, at least, you know, up to your legs, was kind of therapeutic after that.
Help with some of those leg cramps.
Cold snap, I guess. I'm definitely more of a summer person, but, you know, fall and spring are nice, but, you know, the winter, I'm just going to hide out inside, wait for spring.
Most people do. I like fall and spring, but winter doesn't bother me either. Not too bad, not yet. So I'll just take it as it comes.
Yeah, for running, Courtney and I are doing a marathon training plan over this winter, so that'll be good. It'll get me outside and run some miles. You know, it's not too bad. You know, once you get warmed up and stuff, you know, running in cold weather is no big deal.
We had wood heat all the time, so I was always outside, either splitting firewood, carrying it in, or it was cold in the house of a morning when you got up. So, I don't know, I've just always gotten used to it, I guess.
We had a wood stove, and it would keep the whole house warm, and that first, you know, 30 minutes in the morning, you had to get up and stoke the fire and throw some wood on it and try to get the coals going again, and, you know, always outside chopping stuff up, you know, getting ready for the next day. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun, but, you know, that wood stove would keep our house, you know, in the 70s, you know, mid-70s, even, you know, if you really cranked it up, you could get up to 80 degrees there, even when it was, you know, zero or 10 below zero outside. So, you know, wood stove is great. It's got their fans in all kinds of places now.
Another one of those crazy regulations that don't really know why.
So Pennsylvania banned outdoor wood-burning furnaces. So, yeah, Pennsylvania, of all places, decided to ban, you know, wood stoves. So, whatever.
Oh, man, it's like people have just lost their mind lately on some of the crazy things they're doing.
Okay, just in the past couple of years, they've banned, you know, gas-powered lawn tools. They've banned gas-powered generators. They've banned... and they've now banned natural gas heating in your house. So what the heck, you know, I don't know what they're thinking over there. I don't know what they think they're going to accomplish with all that. All they're doing is moving the pollution somewhere else and doubling it.
Going broke doing it, because now they're, you know, California is so far in debt, they'll be the first state to fall.
They're moving out of the state in droves to get away from all the stupid regulations they keep passing.
The homeless people over there that you can't afford to be there anyway, and just, you know, urinating and taking, relieving themselves in the street.
I don't remember if this is the case, but didn't California actually lose a couple of congressional seats in the last census because of the population decline?
That one. I'd have to go back and check that out. But I hope they did, because that way they don't have as much say in what goes on in the rest of the country.
Founding fathers had the foresight to make the Senate, because, you know, the Senate is equal representation for each state, at least, so it helps kind of, you know, control one, you know, one state getting out of control with how much power they have.
Personally, I think it's amazing how much smarter people were back then when they didn't have all the education that we do now.
It's, you know, now we have, like, oh, all this education, but, you know, what are you learning? Nothing.
I have nothing wrong, nothing against education, but I come in contact with people that are over, that are highly educated, and they have no common sense. I mean, most of the time, it's just like, how do you get through life?
Isn't it, you go to one of these elite universities and get your quote-unquote education, they don't want you to have common sense because it's common. They want you to feel like you're set apart from the crowd and that you're better than everyone else. So, you know, they get rid of all of your common sense.
Bye-bye. That is, I already put it quite that way, so yeah, that makes good sense now.
It's no longer common, is it?
It's amazing. Still turning wrenches. I've done quite a bit of training of the new guys coming in, and I was always, give me somebody with just some basic common sense, and I can teach them. These guys coming in with these book smarts, they're useless. I mean, they can't even run a floor jack.
I'm seeing that a lot with even, you know, higher engineers, and, you know, I'm seeing it a lot in recent graduates where, they have an engineering degree, but they can't tell a resistor from a transistor.
Some of that is the way schools are teaching now. They just teach to a test instead of actually teaching you how to do something. They don't, with the automotive, that's what I know, so it's where I'm going with it. Nobody knows how the system works. They don't take the time to learn how the system works or how to diagnose the system. It's just, if you see this, you do this.
W2JKT. With the engineering curriculum, the problem right now is that all of the, these big engineering schools, they're having to sell their programs to parents and students. And so what they do is they, instead of, teaching basic analog electronics and digital electronics and all the fundamentals, it's all robots. Everybody wants to do robots, and everybody wants to have battle bots and robots and all this other stuff. It's all about robots. So even Georgia Tech, when I was down there for the career fair, they have boarded up a lot of their circuit labs and replace them with BattleBot arenas, so the kids can go in there and just write programs, quote unquote programs for robots, to try to make them fight each other because it's fun. But they don't learn anything doing that. So that's one of the problems we have right now, is that these curriculums are being designed to cater to the whimsy of the students and not to teach them anything.
It goes back to what I was saying. It's just they're learning just enough to pass the test, just to answer the questions on the test, and that's it. They don't actually learn, like you say, how to diagnose the system. If I'm seeing this voltage here, this is what I can expect. If I don't see voltage here, this is what I expect. Or, and the path at which current flows.
No critical thinking skills. It's all just if this, then that.
Now here in the automotive side, they tell these kids they're going to make $100,000 a year, and the scanner tells you everything that's wrong with a car. The scanner just gives you a code and says, look at this system. This is what we're seeing.
I'll just be honest with you. I have not met a mechanic in several years that could tell me how an engine actually works. Tell me the four phases of a compression engine, and how they work and what's going on. And they look at me like, what?
I agree with you. They don't know the difference of the four cycle engine. They don't know the difference between the Otis design and the Atkins design engines. I mean, they don't know anything about how it works. They don't even know the basics when they go to diagnose it. Fuel, air, and spark, or compression on a diesel.
Definitely, definitely concerning that, I went to, I took this Armada to get some new tires, and it was, a general repair shop, and, the guy was like, we'd love to have your maintenance business and stuff like that, and I just said, okay, well, tell me how an engine works. And he just kind of looked at me blank for a second. I'm like, he said, what? I'm like, well, tell me how an engine works. And, what are the four, what are the four cycles? And he didn't know how to answer my question.
Sad. I mean, really sad.
Yeah, it's sort of my litmus test when, I go to a shop and they're like, well, bring it back for your maintenance. I'm like, well, if you can tell me how an engine works, then we can talk about it.
Glad I grew up when I did and how I did. That way I actually had to learn how to do something.
Yeah, me too. All right, well, I'm coming down the road here to the parking deck, so I'm going to go ahead and sign with you and say 73. Great talking to you this morning, and maybe tomorrow we'll try to keep it on a more positive subject, because a lot of dark stuff today. All right, have a great day. This is W2JKT. I'll be clear on your final.
Roger that, and good to talk to you, Eric. Always a pleasure. KO4HKX, and I'll be mobile and monitoring.
HKX, N4ZLK, mobile.
Shane, or good night to you. How are you doing?
I just passed Ryobi, where Eric was going there about 5 minutes ago. I'm headed back up here.
I'm listening.
You were on the 285 machine, but I could hear you guys, but it was pretty scratchy. And it was interesting, your audio on that machine was like it is on this one, very, very loud. And Eric was really, really low audio on that machine.
Everybody says, and they're low to me too, and I don't know what the difference is other than, I guess, how I talk into the mic. Is a big thing, and like I said, I got a big mouth.
What's KO4CEF? He's really light on that machine, too, but he sounds, he comes way up on this one. Eric did, too, so I'm not sure what it is. Maybe it's the distance from the repeater.
Actually, they're not that far from it. Where it's at, they're probably close to the same amount of mileage.
Just find it interesting that there is such a difference in their signal on those two different repeaters. Anyway, I hope you're well this morning. When you get a chance, could you give me a phone call? I need to ask you a question.
Do it right now if you want me to.
Yeah, that'd be good. Let me put my earpiece in. N4ZLK.
Thanks, Gex.